All right.
So let me get to Ezekiel 16. We're going to look at verses 11 and 12, where the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Let me read 13 as well. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. So we've been looking at this passage of Scripture, and I've been showing teaching that what God did for Israel, to Israel, he has done to spiritual Israel, which is the church of Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 6. And so that when you read the Old Testament, when you read, you know, the prophetic, you know, the books, the prophets, oftentimes you read and say, this has no bearing on today. I don't know why I have to. I don't know why pastors tell me to read the Bible, read the whole Bible. I don't know why I have to read this. Well, I'm sharing with you why and applying it to our New Testament reality and why it's important. Because as God said to Israel, and the title of the message is, I adorned, I put. That's it, simply. I adorned, I put. Because God adorned Israel, and he put bracelets on her wrists, a chain on her neck, and he put a jewel in her nose, earrings on her ears, and a beautiful crown on her head. And when God did that to her, there was a second prophetic fulfillment in what he's done to her that he's doing for us in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to bring out so that we can understand it and see it. This word to adorn in the Hebrew means to advance, to bedeck. To bedeck, deck the halls with boughs of holly, right? It means to decorate, to ornament, to bring an ornament upon. So it means to make more beautiful, to decorate, right? God says, I adorned you, Israel. He adorned Israel with his laws, with his commandments, his statutes. There was no other nation like her. No other nation like Israel in all the earth, because God never went to take a nation out of another nation and call that nation to himself exclusively, but the children of Israel. And then it was fulfilled in the church, because we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And so this word, we see it mentioned other times in the Old Testament, the exact word. In Job chapter 40 and verse 10, you'll remember that after Elihu got done speaking for God to Job, that God came and told Job, stand up like a man and talk to me, Job. Job says, no, I'm done. He says, I'm done talking. God says, no. He said to Job in Job chapter 40, verse 10, deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. He says, Job, you got so much mouth. You know how it works. Deck yourself. Come on. Clothe yourself. Adorn yourself with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. That's something Job could not do. We'll talk a little bit how God is the only one who can do this. Amen. Jeremiah 31 and 4, the prophet says, again, I will build thee. The Lord speaking here, I will build thee. And thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in dances to them and that make merry. God was telling them, I'm going to adorn you again. I'm going to deck you out. I'm going to ornate you. I'm going to decorate you with all these things. Hosea, in a negative connotation, said in Hosea 2:13, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam,
wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Okay? So just as God adorned Israel, so he is adorning the church. As God adorned Israel, so he is adorning the church. And I titled the message, I Adorn, I Put, because I wanted to, again, put the emphasis on what God is doing. On what God is doing. And my prayer for the church, not for just this church, but for the church of Jesus Christ, is that we don't take our eyes off of what God is doing and get them focused on what man is all about. Because that's going to be a depressing thing if we do. So all throughout the scriptures, we'll see that we'll see how this carried through, that when there was a marriage about to come about, there would come the adorning. Right. So God adorned Israel. He was adorning her because he was going to enter into a monogamous one nation, one God relationship with Israel. And he's done the same thing with the church. The adornment that God was adorning her with was for the marriage ceremony. You remember in Genesis chapter 24, remember when Abraham wanted to take a wife for his son Isaac? And he sent his servant and he says, go back to my people, go back to my father's house and take from there a wife for my son. He says, what if she won't come? He says, then you're released from this oath, but go. And so the servant goes. You remember the servant praying and saying, oh, dear God of my servant, of my master Abraham, please let it be that the woman who lets down the jug from her shoulder and water my camels, please let her be the one that is to be my master's son's wife. And in Genesis 24 and 22, the scripture reads, and so it was when the camels had finished drinking, because Rebekah comes out and gives drink to all the camels, which was a lot of water. When the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and he put them on her. Why did the servant of Abraham begin to adorn Rebekah? The reason that he did it was because she was the one that was going to be married to Abraham's son Isaac. And so the adorning started. Why was God adorning? Why was God decorating the nation of Israel? Because he was going to enter into a marriage relationship with her, a covenant relationship with her. Why is God adorning you? Said, well, I didn't know God was adorning me. Well, glad you're here. Yeah, he adorned Israel and he's adoring the church. Hey, you ever notice that when someone's adorned, they look different than other people? You understand? They kind of stand out. He's adorning us. You say, with what? I say, not with what. With who? With who? Not with what. I love God. I love what God, how he does things. When he comes, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? Did he give a thing? Did he give a house? Did he give a car? Did he give no, he gave his son. Ah! He gives relationships. He gives people. God gives different gifts than we give. And then after the son died, after the son was, it's time to go, he says, I will not leave you orphanless. I will send you another comforter. He didn't say, I'm going to give you, he didn't say, Israel, I'm going to make you a military might. You're going to be the greatest. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have more grapefruits. And you're gonna, your olive trees are going to grow more than anybody. He didn't say that. He says, I'm going to send you a comforter, even the Spirit of truth, who will be with you forever. So what did God the Son, what came when the Son returned to the Father? What came on the day of Pentecost? Another person came, the Holy Spirit. He's adorning us, church. And that adorning is going to be cause us to look different to the world. He's adorning us with himself. So Rebekah was adorned with jewelry as preparation for her marriage to Isaac. The ornaments God granted to Israel were for their monogamous relationship with the one true God.
Genesis 24 and 52, again in the story of Rebekah, they meet at the well and he puts the nose ring in and puts bracelets on her hands. Then she takes him home and to meet her father and mother and brother. And the servant tells them why I'm here to take a wife for my master's son. And it came to pass in verse 52 when Abraham's servant heard their words, because they said, sure, take her if she's willing to go with you. Take her and go. And he said, the scripture says, then he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. I'm trying to underscore here, I'm trying to show you in the history of the scripture that what God was doing with Ezekiel in Ezekiel with Israel was the same thing. He was preparing Israel for a covenant relationship. Some people think marriage is just, well, you know, and this is why we have so much trouble between the church and the world, because I like what John Piper says, you know, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. I'm sorry if that offends someone, but marriage is between a man and a woman, period. I'm not mad. I'm not homophobic. I'm not mean. The Bible says that God created them male and female. Okay? That's just the truth. Now, I may have to pay for what I just said in the future. But guess what? Amen. Because you know what? You're going to pay one way or the other. But you're going to pay in this life. Hello. But you have to determine what you're going to pay for. Right? I'm never running for public office. I never could, not with this being on the internet. Hello? Do you know what he said? Cancel him. You know, hey, they canceled Jesus. Amen? Temporarily, according to his will and his plan. Okay? And so he began to deck Rebekah out. He began to, make her beautiful. And you know, I've never heard a woman when people respond to her looks or anything. I never heard a woman say, "I want them to think I'm strong." I've always heard women, I want them to think I'm beautiful. Okay? Why? Because God has graced women with beauty. Amen? And so as he decorated her, he enhanced her already, the beauty that she already had. So he gave her jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, clothing, all these things. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. Well, what we find is that folks don't walk around decked out for nothing. Folk don't walk around decked out for no reason. Is that right? I mean, if I walked up here, if I came up here next week in a red suit with red shoes and a red hat, you would go, "Well, hold on, something must be happening. So Alan missed it. There must be a celebration. Pastor must just come from, you know, something is different. Why on earth is he in a red suit?" Right? Which would be a sight. I must say, my wife would drive up from North Carolina and meet me and take that suit off. I said, "But honey, I'm celebrating. I'm adorning myself." Amen. And if she's listening right now, she's going to say, yeah, honey, I would say take that suit off. So usually there's a reason for the adorning. There's a reason why people adorn themselves. We look at Mardi Gras, we see people dressed up like crazy, all this craziness, and there's a reason for it, right? Well, there's a reason why God said to Israel, "I adorned you with ornaments. I put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck." Listen to Isaiah 61, verse 10. where the prophet said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. The prophet said, God does this for me. God does this in me. God does this to me. In other words, if God doesn't clothe you, you're not clothed. If God doesn't clothe you, you're not clothed. Matter of fact, ask Adam and Eve about that. They tried to clothe themselves. Didn't work out too well. God had to do it. Amen. God had to do it because he did it right. If God doesn't cover you, you're not covered. The prophet said, he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. If God doesn't adorn you, you're not adorned. Amen. So if God doesn't adorn, if he doesn't clothe us, if he doesn't cover us, then we find ourselves naked. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a church. He was talking to a church. He was talking to a church. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it until we get it. Jesus in Revelation was talking to a church, and this is what he said. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And naked. What Isaiah said the Lord did for him, for the righteous, is that he clothes us with the garments of salvation. He covers me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So God clothes us and covers us. But to the church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, you're naked. Oh, how we need the Lord most desperately, that we be not found naked. Revelation 17 and 16, the scripture says, and the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Not covered. But God is covering, he's adorning Israel. God adorns his bride, his wife, with beauty. I'm going to jump to the New Testament now. After having looked at the old, listen at what the New Testament says about God adorning us. Revelation 21 and verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, God. Hey, Labosha. Hey, what is God doing? Listen. Let me read it again. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So now if the holy city is coming out of heaven from God, it means that God did the preparation. God was the one who prepared. God was the one who adorned. He adorned the bride. He prepared, the scripture says, this city was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I'm told, I'm sure you've heard sayings like this before, a woman is most beautiful on her wedding day. Have you heard that before? I've heard that. Okay. The day that you want to present, you want to be most beautiful, most prepared, reminds you of Esther. When she was going in before the king, 6 months in oils to soften the skin, 6 months in perfume. And the lady said, I never prepared that much for my husband. Yeah, but that's the way Esther did to meet the king. 6 months, a whole year. So that on that day, she had to be striking, not only in not only visually, but aroma-wise, she had to smell wonderful. Everything about her had to be exquisite. And the scripture says, John saw this new city, this new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned to meet her husband. Remember, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And God, listen, we are called the New Jerusalem. We are called Zion. We are the city of God. Amen. We are the city of God, his dwelling place. This New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her people. God's been adorning her. What is God doing in your life? He's adorning you. He's adorning me. Are you excited yet? Are we excited? Come on. Come on. Are we done chasing the feeble things of this life? Come on. Republican, Democrat, left, right, liberal, conservative, black, white. I'm saying, dear God, help us. Help us to see what you are doing. Help us to be consumed, Lord, with the glories of heaven, the glories of Christ living in us, manifesting himself through us, his glories, his righteousness, his holiness. Oh, these other things have nothing to do. They have nothing to offer me concerning God's adornment for the place that I'm called to as the bride of Christ. And we get our eyes off of God and on men and on this, that, and the other. And I believe part of it, the reason why we're living in times that we are right now, is to train, get our vision off of man and on God. Remember Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned to death, while each stone hitting him was taking his life from him. The Bible says he gazed up into heaven, saw heaven opened, and the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. Hey! He had a revelation in the midst of his suffering. This is why, and I hear so many people say, they want to persecute the church in America. They want to take out liberties. I'm like, for real, let them have them. It may come to it. What are you going to do? Are you going to renounce Christ so that you can have a few religious liberties? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to, with Stephen, declare the truth, and though I may suffer, though I may be persecuted, yet God's going to give me a revelation of who he is. Hallelujah. That far outweighs anything that you can do. Jesus said, fear not them who after they kill the body have no more that they can do. Rather, fear him who can cast body and soul into hell. So we need to get our fear straight. We need to get the fear of God right. God is adorning us for himself, just like he was adorning Israel for himself. Listen, Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Come. I will show you the bride, the one that's being adorned. Come on. I will show you the one who's having bracelets put on, jewelry on the nose, earrings, all these things. I will show you the bride, Revelation 21:9, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city. You say, he said, I'm going to show you the bride, but he wouldn't show them a city. That's right. Because God's bride is not one person. It's a city. It's many. Hello. He says he came and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Again, God was adorning the city. Gemstones. Precious stones, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, which speaks to purity. God adorned the Lamb's wife, the city, with the glory of God and light like a most precious stone. How is the light in our lives? How's the light? God is producing a light in us. The Bible, 1 John 1:5 says,
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's a light in the people of God. Why? Because he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are to be light in the earth. And the darkness does not like the light. And we need to be okay with that. But we need to continue to be light. Hello. God is adorning us with his light. He's adorning us with his character, his nature. Revelation 21:19. Listen, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The foundations. Let me ask you a question. Can you see the foundation of this building? No, you can't. Yet God set those stones with precious, precious stones. Let me say this. The unseen areas of our lives are supposed to be very, very precious. Because the foundation determines what you can put on top of it. And if you have a rotten foundation, hey, God help us. If you have a rotten foundation, then what can be built on that foundation is not much at all. The foundation determines what can be built, what type of house can be built on that foundation. And Revelation 21:19 says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, chalcedony, and emerald. You know what? The world doesn't care about your foundation, but God does. You know why? Because you give it enough time, a bad foundation is going to show up when the building comes crashing down. Bad foundation. And we're seeing it happen in the church. We're seeing people with holding high office. And then they've been serving for years and everything looks great until one day it comes crashing down. And you say, well, why did that happen? Because of the foundation. Because of the foundation. Well, God's adorning the foundation. He's adorning our lives. Amen. And so the unseen, the hidden areas of our lives matter to God. He uses precious stones, his son. His son is the foundation stone of our lives. And oftentimes what we find in scripture is that what God does, then he turns around and commands his people to do. So in Titus chapter 2, verse 9, the scripture reads this way. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, which is stealing, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, sincerity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That they may adorn. So in the first few scriptures that I shared with you, God was adorning Israel. God is adorning the church. But now, Paul turns it around and says, now you adorn the doctrine of God. How do we adorn the doctrine of God? I'll tell you how we don't do it. When the Christian who says, don't steal, is caught embezzling money from the organization. That's how we don't adorn the doctrine of God. When the Christians who say adultery is a sin and God's going to judge you and homosexuality is a sin, and then the pastor's caught with a male escort. That's not adorning the doctrine of God. The way we adorn the doctrine of God, as the scripture here teaches us,
as you know, we can broaden this out. Paul is speaking about bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not stealing. But you can just keep going on and on and on with the things that honor God. Telling the truth. Come on. Not sowing discord among the brethren. On and on and on. The things that we know as blood-bought believers. Having the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We know that truthful, righteous, trustworthy, kind, faithful, humble living beautifies and bedecks the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Paul was saying goodbye to the Christians at Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, was it that he called them? He says, I have coveted no man's silver and no man's gold. He says, you're my witnesses. He says, I've not coveted your silver. In other words, I was not greedy for money. I was not asking you for money. And you turn on the television and the unsaved are parading around. If I would mention the name of this person, you would know right off. And yet when people lost their jobs in February due to the pandemic or in April, this person said, don't you dare stop tithing. Don't you dare stop tithing. You keep giving. But it doesn't matter you lost your job. You keep tithing. You keep giving. And send it to this ministry. Hello? Hello? Come on. Come on. No, not only should we not be asking, you go in your pocket. Here. You go in your pocket. It's more blessed to give than to receive. God help us. We're commanded by the Spirit of God to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ by the way we live. That's why I've said before, Lord, if in my future I will desecrate your name by how I turn from you and live in a way as to cause the enemies of our Lord to blaspheme, take me off the earth. Take me. It's not my Lord who saved me. Lord, just take me off the earth. Because I don't want to shame your name. Hello. Why? Because of all that God has done for us. Let me end with this. What time is it? Verse 12, he said this. And I put a beautiful crown on your head. I put a beautiful crown on your head. God crowned Israel, and God crowns the church. Okay? One, as I thought about this, one thing I that wouldn't leave me alone is this. Nowhere do you find a person crowning themselves. Let me say that again. Nowhere will you find a person crowning themselves. Huh? Someone else must crown you. In the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verse 6, God told Moses, make a crown, make a turban for Aaron, make all these things. And he says, you are to crown Aaron as high priest. But Moses was the one who would do the crowning. In 2 Samuel, chapter 1, King Saul lost his life, and an Amalekite who was nearby when after Saul had leaned on the sword to try and kill himself after he was wounded and his life was still in him. He said to this Amalekite, slay me, get this over with. And this Amalekite slayed him and took his crown. He decrowned him. David fought against the king of Ammon. And the Bible says when he defeated the king, David's people went and took the crown off of the king of Ammon and went and put the crown on King David. But they crowned him. Job 19 and verse 9, Job was saying this about all that he had experienced. He's speaking of God. He says, he has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Speaking figuratively, of course. But then we remember the book of Esther, that Vashti lost her crown, literally, because she didn't come when the king called for her. They removed the crown from her head and placed it on Esther's head. God said to Israel, I put a beautiful crown on your head. Not only did Esther receive a crown, but you remember Mordecai received a crown as well. They put a crown on his head. He didn't crown himself, but the king crowned him. In Israel, it was God who determined who wore the crown. You remember that? In Israel, it was God who determined. So you remember Israel's first king was Saul. The people asked for a king. God said to Samuel, give them what they asked for. But they're going to see that it was the wrong choice. After that, God chose David and all of his sons to rule Israel. And the reason why it went south was because of Rehoboam. We talked about that last week. And the kingdom split. But the sons of David still ruled over Judah. And all of his sons were ordained of God to wear the crown because God had told David that there'll never cease to be a son of yours sitting on the throne of Israel. Right? So God determined who would wear the crown in Israel. Right now, matter of fact, we got a present day vernacular of this going on. Trump's trying to hold on to the crown. Trump and the Republican Party are trying to hold on to power because that's what the crown represents. You see, it's power. It's authority. It's authority. But as I said earlier, you don't crown yourself. Hello? You don't crown yourself. Here in our nation, the people crown you. Government of, by, and for the people. Is that how it's said? And so we determine, as Bill was sharing earlier, through elections, we determine who's going to be top dog, if you will, or the president over these United States. And we're still going through all of this craziness because of this. In the kingdom of God, one is crowned not with temporal things like silver and gold, but with eternal riches, with the eternal riches of his likeness. In the kingdom of God, while we're all down here fighting about who's going to be president, God is crowning his people with the riches, with the eternal riches of his likeness. Of his likeness. So he said to Israel, I crowned you with a beautiful crown. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Listen at Paul. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. To all who are looking for his appearing, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you and I. What is a reign without righteousness? What is a crown without righteousness? Hello? All we got to do is look through the nations. All we got to do is look through history, look through world history, and we'll see people reigning without righteousness. And it's a terrible thing. You don't want it. You don't want it. And so that's why all of this that we're going through, I say, Lord Jesus, help us. Get us through this. But Lord, give us righteousness. Give us servant leaders. Give us sacrifice. Those who would sacrifice, Lord, their vocation. Those who would sacrifice their careers, oh God, to do what is true, to do what is righteous, to do what is honorable, to do what is just. Give us leaders who would honor you. All God's people will be crowned by God himself with righteousness. We will see him as he is, for we will be like him, 1 John tells us. James, in James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So 2 Timothy talks about the crown of righteousness. James talks about the crown of life. And again, what is a reign? What is a crown without life? You're reigning over death. Come on. You're reigning over death. What is that? There's no glory in that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter talking to those who shepherd the flock of God, which he says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain. We already talked about that, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life. And now the crown of glory. What is a reign without dignity and without honor? What is a crown without it? And so God is giving us the crown of life. Just like in the book of Ezekiel, he gave to her a beautiful crown. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, let's be honest. We don't like that. You know what doesn't like that? Our flesh. Because our flesh is concerned about one thing. Me. That's what it's concerned with. But listen, temporal death compared to eternal life is not a comparison at all. Temporal death compared to eternal life, for one outweighs the other as far as light outshines darkness. Jesus said, be faithful unto death. And that's what we focus on. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Totally missing out on, I will give you the crown of life, which is eternal life. Eternal life. That's what Stephen was gazing into while the stones were taking his life away. He was looking at eternal life. Eternal life is not a thing. Eternal life is a person. Eternal life is not a thing. Gospel of John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is life eternal, that they may know you. Eternal life is not something that you go and obtain. It's not something tangible. It is a person. And he came that we might have life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Gospel of John tells us. So, Father, help us to value the crown of life, no matter what it may cost us. Because in the days ahead, it may cost you. It may cost you your livelihood. It may cost you your reputation. It may cost me my business. It may cost me my home. It may cost whatever. But the crown of life will endure forever. I close with Revelation 3, verse 11. Jesus again talking to the church. And this is the church at Philadelphia. This is the church, one of the churches that he had no rebuke for. This is the church where he said, I set before you an open door that no one can shut. And he said to them in verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold fast what you have, that no man may take your crown. God gave Israel a crown in Ezekiel 16. And God has given us a crown. The crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory.
And here, he says, hold fast what you have. And I thought it would be interesting to go back and see, what did they have? Verse 8 of Revelation 3, Jesus says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. And then he said this, for you have a little strength. A little strength. Sometimes, you know, when we think about living this life, we think about living the Christian life. We think we have to be this big hulking giant in the spirit. Like, you know, we judge the realm of the spirit by the things of the natural. Yet the Bible says, remember what God said to Samuel. When Samuel went to take a king, and the Lord said, don't look at Eliab. Don't look at Aminadab like that. He said, because the Lord does not see as man sees. He said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Yeah. And see, where we see weakness, God sees strength. Uh-huh. Look here. God said, you have a little strength. And if I told you, if I came to you and said, ask you what you have, and you said, I have a little bit of money. And I said, yeah, but I got a whole lot of money. You think I'm better off than you. But see, Jesus don't need your whole lot of money. Because he can take a little and make it infinite. So we, you know, sometimes we get it wrong when we judge things in the spirit. He said, I see you have a little strength, have kept my word. He's talking to a church. You have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Oh, listen, you want to keep your crown. You want to keep your crown. The strength that you have, that little bit. Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, he didn't say you had to have all faith. If you just have a little bit. So the little strength that you have, come on, because remember, God can do much with a little. Remember the woman who had one jar of oil and God made it into rivers, that it would never stop. So God can take the little that you have, but you have to hold on to it. He says, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So hold on to the little strength you have. Keep his word and do not deny my name, he says. And you shall keep the crown that God has given to you as his bride to us, as his wife, as his church. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Every beautiful thing about us, he is responsible for. So, Father, we thank you now. We thank you for adorning us with Christ your Son. We thank you, O God, that you put bracelets on our wrist. Lord, you put a jewel in our nose. You put earrings on. You put a beautiful crown of righteousness, life, and glory on our heads. And, oh, God, Lord, what you have given us, may we hold fast to that which we have. May we hold fast to that which you have given us. May we hold fast to that righteousness, Lord, to that life, to that glory, oh, God, that you've given us in Jesus Christ. May we not let it go. May we be prepared, adorned as a bride prepared for her husband, Lord, that when Christ returns, may we be found, Lord, busy, oh God. May we be found working, laboring in your vineyard. May we be found gazing toward heaven because we know that our redemption draweth nigh. May we be like the faithful servant, Lord, who will be doing when you come what you commanded us to do. We thank you, O God, that you've adorned us with yourself. And we pray that we would then in turn adorn the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the righteous lives that you live within us to live. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.